This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Lord, we give you thanks and praise for you are faithful. Thank you for our gathering again this evening is unto you. Blessed Lord, we pray that you breathe afresh upon us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, of counsel, of wisdom, and of understanding. Thank you, blessed Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I had to, as I said, during one of the, previous sessions, I wanted to touch on this particular topic, planning the spiritual growth of our children. Because we're in a world that, we all plan our progress, don't we? You walk towards your next promotion. You walk towards the targets you set for yourself in your business. You walk towards placing your children in some very good schools. Isn't it? Including moving house, to a good neighborhood where you can have the best, schools for your own children. We save up for birthdays and for holidays. We plan so many things, but we miss out planning for the spiritual growth of our children. And in terms of the growth of our children, what God really desires for every one of us is that we always grow from glory to glory. And glory to glory is growing into the image of Christ. As Malachi 2, Philippians 2:5 says that we should have the mind of Christ. This mind that was in Christ, let it be in us, also. So we just want to be able to grow, to be like Christ. And the scripture actually gives us the pattern for growth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, there the scripture tells us that Jesus grew. He increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men. And that covers, the four areas of growth. In wisdom, that is emotional and intellectual growth. In stature, he grew physically. In favor with God, spiritual growth. And in favor with men, socially, he was very balanced. He was here, he was heavenly, but he had his feet well rooted here on earth as well. He was very well connected. But if we must really address the issue of spiritual growth, we have to approach it with the mind of a farmer. When a farmer goes into any place to, to plant, what does he do? He prepares the ground. Gets rid of, stones and weeds, isn't it? And the scripture says to us that we should do what? Get rid of the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vine. And being that our spiritual life is never isolated from the rest of our lives, we are soul, spirit, and body. Is that right? So Jesus grew in the area of soul, spirit, and body. In the body, in his stature, in his soul, emotional and intellectual development, he grew. And spiritually, he grew. But these four areas of our lives, or rather, these three areas of our lives interact with each other. And it is what you feed that really grows. Is that right? It's what you feed, that grows. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, tells us that it says, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, for us to address the issue of spiritual growth, we must learn how to bring these other areas of our lives under subjection. Do you get what I'm saying? The emotional side, the intellectual side, and your physical side. What role they really play. We must really understand, how those ones work. And something I fully realize is that, you know, apart from our spiritual life, the other bits of our own life, yes, our soul and our body, have close affinity with the earthly realm of our existence. So with those, we're able to interact with the world around us. Is that right? Okay, now, let's really catch something here. I really want to lay this foundation before we really, you know, before we go any further. In Romans chapter 8, shall we open to Romans chapter 7, please? Romans 7. I'll read from verse 15. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 from verse 15. It says, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Then verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's where our victory lies, isn't it? So talking about spiritual growth, we're talking about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know, if we look at, you know, I think the people that really help us to understand this better is if we look at the life of teenagers. Okay, that is when everything is kind of, you know, really screaming at us. Is that right? When they are children or when we are children, everything seems to be under control. The parents say do this and they do that. But when it starts getting to the, you know, to the teenage life, you know, to the teenage years, then you begin to see, you know, that, you know, struggle, the tussle that is going on in all these areas of life, the conflicts, and then that will bring us to the physical development. If you look at the physical side of a teenager, I'm using that just as an example to help us understand, you know, what we are going to be talking about this evening. In the teenage life, we can see clearly a life that is still under construction. Is that correct? You see different kinds of growth that is really accelerating. You know, everything is really moving so fast. They are so conscious of what they look like and how they, you know, the various things really going on in their own bodies. You know, you have the chemical, all manner of things really going on. The concoction of growth going on. The muscle is growing at a different rate, you know, from, you know, than the bones. You know, and you heard of growth pains, yes? Some of those growth pains do cause you some headache, don't they? Yeah, but these things are really there. You know, the advance of puberty, you know, carries, you know, so many so many challenges. For example, something there before I even move on. You notice that people grow at different rates. Is that right? You may see a 12-year-old boy who is already shaving, and they find a 13-year-old that is much bigger, who is always staring at the mirror, waiting for the first, you know, hair that will grow on his face. Is that right? Yes. You find some of them in puberty time who are struggling with the sizes of their sexual organs. It's a problem. For girls, sometimes the breasts grow at different rates. One is growing fatter and, you know, smaller than the... You have all those confusions. This is to happen. I'm sorry to embarrass some of us here. But it is a problem. For that other boys, you need to really hear some of the things they go through. And what then happens, in, you know, at such times is that their mind gets easily consumed with those things going on around them. And then guess what happens? The spiritual side is just like pouring water upon a stone. So if we do not understand what they are going through, you will never be able to support them. And they themselves, if we do not have them to understand that it's only a phase that they are going through, their mind gets completely consumed. If you start telling them about going to church, no, they have more pressing issues in their lives. If you get what I mean. You know? That's why some of them will not bear to, you know, they wear all kind of hats to even come into church. Why? Because their hair is not looking like they've not combed it, or something is really out of shape. It's not that they want to rebel, they are so conscious of what they really look like. You know? Then you find the ones who are already growing, the ones who are not growing. And then there's one, you know, I don't want to call it a disease, but there's a problem, let me call it a phenomenon, which is called the imaginary audience phenomenon. You must have heard that. You know? How many people have been teenagers here before? Okay, you've been a teenager before. You have what is called the imaginary audience phenomenon, which they believe that wherever they go, everybody is looking at them, and everybody is seeing those things that they are struggling with, and they become too consumed and too conscious of themselves. And what happens at that time? They begin to look at themselves. But what did Hebrews 12 verse 2 say to us? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Except we really teach them and help them to learn how to manage, those issues, it will be so difficult, you know. And since they suffer from this imaginary, you know, audience phenomenon, let's also develop another phenomenon or teach them about another phenomenon, that they should only dance to one person. They have an audience of one. And who is that? Jesus. That is very key. Then let's look at the social side. That's another phenomenon which is called everybody. Everybody is? Hello? Everybody is? Doing it. That's another problem. Everybody is doing it. So if everybody is doing it and I'm not doing it, that makes me what? Hello? I'm back again, you know, to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. And we shall back again to Hebrews 12, verse 2, run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. We all have our different races to run. Mine is different from my son's own. Amen. And we all have to run that very race. So everybody is doing it. And what does everybody is doing it mean? That everybody is doing it, or maybe they want to go for a program and you say to them, don't go, and I say to you, hey, everybody will be there. What does that mean? Does it mean that the whole school will be there? No. Does it mean that everybody in the clan will be there? Absolutely not. It only means that those significant people in their life that influences them, that they look up to or they want to please or seeking acceptance from, will be there. And they not being there, hey, it's inflation for them. You get what I mean? Are we together? So when they say everybody will be there, ask, will the Lord be? Will the Lord be there? Hallelujah. I love the question Pastor Roland asked, you know, this evening. Do you know that you have the treasure in you? You know, if we understand that as believers that we have Christ in us, that means that everything we say, they are words we are putting in the mouth of Christ. Everything we do are things we are making Christ do. Everywhere we go, we are taking Christ to that very place. Exactly. And that is why, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, if I'm to be in a place where the Lord is not pleased, I will feel it in my own spirit. There will be no joy in my own heart. And I just know, I won't even have peace. I just know that I should not go to that place and I should stay away from there. Again, if we keep ignoring those warnings of the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? It becomes dulled. And we must keep, you know, our eyes on the ball to really help our young ones, you know, to do it right. And this everybody is doing it has another side, you know, to read. That's what is called the rule of relationship, or the rule of friendship, rather. The rule of friendship. The rule of friendship is that when you have a clique, a particular group of people, there's something that defines them. There's something that makes them unique from other groups. So when you have a child who is, you know, and we parents can easily get into denial. You see a child who is hanging out with all the other people. They all are smoking. They all are hanging out. They all are doing certain things. And they tell you, all of them are, but I'm not doing it. The rule of friendship will bring pressure on them to succumb. And sometimes compromising to be accepted becomes more important to them than any other value that you really want to teach them. And we have to be careful of that and be sensitive and give priority to the social development of our own children. Be aware of what they are doing and the people they are really hanging out with, and make our homes open for their friends to come and get to know the friends of our children. Amen. We have the emotional, you know, side, of course, all the roller coaster, you know, of extremes, you know, that they go through. Okay? I'm sure many of us are really familiar with that. Then on the intellectual side of things, that is when they are developing their own minds, exploring with their own minds, asking questions, dealing with abstract, you know, things. Why am I doing this? What is life really about? And why should I do this in this particular way? They are asking all those questions. For me, they are opportunities for growth. Exactly. Now, the faith side of things, they are asking the question. Now, this is the critical question that, you know, in the life of our own children. Who is God? And where does he fit in our lives? They will ask those questions. Again, I'm just, at this point, these four things I've mentioned here is mainly dealing with teenagers. Why I chose that very particular age group is because it always tears all of us on the face. We easily forget the children. And this is one thing, we keep storing up trouble for, you know, for ourselves. We ignore them when they are growing up, and when they get to the teenagers, you know, we begin to firefight. You know, but the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay. So I hope we are understanding a bit of, you know, the relationship between the soul, spirit, and body. Now, developing a growth plan. How can we really begin to do this? Number one, we must, before you can help any child to be who God wants them to be, you must know and own God's vision for that child. Okay? You must know and own, not just knowing it. You must own. In other words, you must align yourself with God. You must put yourself on the side of God. Forget about your own agenda. We all have our own agenda for our children, let's be honest, don't we? Okay? But we must know, we must seek first and foremost to know God's own vision and then own that vision. Let God's vision for our children become our vision. You know what happens at that time? Malachi 3 verse 3. Can two walk together except they agree? You get that? So when we know and own God's vision for our children, then we're able to walk with God in fulfilling his own purposes concerning our own children. We're able to do that. So, you know, we must really begin to see our children as they could be, not as they are at the moment. As they could be. And you can only know what they could be if you know God's own vision for their own lives. And number two, Proverbs 22 verse 6. Say, turn up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know? People think it's just anything you want to do with the child. Just train them in that way and they will never depart from you when they are old. That is not what the scripture is talking about. You know, it said train them up in the way. In the way. That same word that was used in Proverbs 22 verse 6 is used in Psalm 11 verse 2 and Psalm 64 verse 3. In their bent, it's really talking about an archer. It's a word used in archery. You know, when they understand the way the bow springs, you know, how it's bent and how you're able to aim it right to put your arrow on it and take a good aim. Okay? Anybody here use catapult when they were young? You know the catapult? Yeah? Or sling? Now, you find that not all catapults are the same. Even if they are taken from the wood, it's taken from the same tree. Now, when you take your catapult and you want to take aim, you can take your friend's own and boom, you get the thing. But if you take another catapult, you have to understand the way it's balanced. So when it comes to that of shooting an arrow, you have to understand the bend of the bow. So train your own child according to his bent. Amen? And that bent is the bending of God, the way God is fully channeled and the way God has wired them. So help them in along those lines. Number three, we must major on the majors and not on the minors. Is that clear? Major on the majors and not on the minors. You know, be a priority parent. And the only way we can really major on the majors and not on the minors is if we have clear sense of values. Okay? We'll leave the issue of values for another day. You know, and we must remember that as parents, we are our children's most important teachers, not the teachers in schools, not even the one in the Sunday school. I've told us before that we should not be, you know, lone parents. You may be a single parent, but don't be a lone parent. Don't parent on your own. Focus on the growth that counts. That's number six. Focus on the growth that counts. It was Chuck Swindoll, you know, that said, there is an enormous difference between growing old in the Lord and growing up in Him. One is automatic and requires no effort at all, just aging. But the other is never automatic or easy. It calls for personal discipline, continual determination, and spiritual desire. Churches are full of sleepy saints who are merely logging time in God's family. That will not be my children's portion, in Jesus' name. Amen. My children will not be people who are just merely logging time, you know, in God's family, but there will be people that will make a difference. You know, growth comes not with age, but with acceptance of responsibilities. Are we hearing this? Growth comes not with age, but with acceptance of responsibilities. So in our own homes, we must begin early to teach our children to take responsibilities. We can't be doing everything for our children, including putting away their shoes or their toys. Those little things, that's where it starts, isn't it? Teaching them to take responsibilities. Even making their own beds. Okay? No, you may expect that, well, a three-year-old may not be able to make their beds very well. Their hands short, their, you know, legs, you know, all those kind of stuff. But when they begin to do it, they'll know that if they tumble or roll, do anything there, they will somehow, even if you have to finish it up for them later on, but they're beginning to take responsibility. Even moving their plate from the table, you know, little things, you know, like that. Taking responsibility. When it comes to, you know, even at home in spiritual matters, taking responsibilities. Yeah? Okay, I'll give us a very simple example here. If I say to one of my children, you are sharing with us during our family devotion on Wednesday, okay? Today is Wednesday. Maybe on Friday you are sharing with us. And Friday comes up and say, oh, I forgot. No, you cannot forget. Why should you forget? You have to take responsibility. There's something God has placed in you that will bless us, that is for every one of us. So if you don't prepare to release that which God has placed in you, you are denying us of that which God has placed in you. You get the point? So we are now learning to take responsibility for each other's spiritual lives. Then we must develop a growth plan for our own children. Develop a growth plan for your family. Ask yourself these few questions. Do I believe I have a potential to grow? Do I believe I have a potential to grow? Do I believe my family has growth potential? Do I have a desire for my family to grow? Please don't copy me, okay? I'm not dictating, okay? Just learn the essential things. You can get the, you know, the CD, you know, later, okay? Let's really move out with, you know. And do I have a desire for my family to grow? Can I do something to promote the family's growth? Now, what's going on here? Responsibility for the growth of the family rests on the parents. Is that correct? Okay. Especially on the fathers. Am I willing to do whatever it takes for them to grow? we must get rid of excuses. We must get rid of excuses and make a decision to change. Make a decision to change. Many fathers have taken responsibility to earn money for the family, but have not taken the responsibility for the growth and development of their own families. We must see the big picture. And how can we make our home a growth environment? How can we make our home a growth environment? We can make our home a growth environment for our children where others are ahead of them. If we make others to be ahead of our children, it will become a growth environment. You know, remember the law of the seal that John Maxwell really, you know, is really published, you know, so much. The law of the seal is that the people under you will never grow beyond your own level. So, and years ago, before I even started having my own children, I realized that, look, if my children are to grow, I have to keep growing. People under my care, if my family is to grow spiritually, I have to keep growing. So I don't put a seal on them. Is that clear? So let it be a place where others are ahead of them. They can always look up to, they can ask you questions, you know, and they are continually challenged. And this is one place that there's a conflict that's, you know, in the mind of children. When they're amongst their mates are saying to them, you are cool, you're okay, you are fine. Boy, I really envy you. I wish I can be like you. And at home, you're telling them, look, more. You need to move on. You know, you need to move on. And they're saying, look, I'm okay. Their friends are seeing them at their own level, comparing themselves with themselves. But you have foresight. That's a journey ahead that you can see. Amen. That is very critical. And the focus is always forward, not just keeping them prisoners of the past, of the mistakes that they have made. The atmosphere must be affirming. You know, always you believing that they can make it and they can grow. Okay? They are asked to get out of their comfort zone. Remember that everything you ask of them, you yourself should be prepared to do it for your own self. Okay? And they need not fear failure. You know? A child that must walk must learn how to fall and get up. Or rather must learn to get up when they fall. But fall, they must. Anybody here knows how to ride a bicycle? And you rode your bicycle without never falling down? Anybody here? Anybody here learned to swim without ever gulping water? Okay. So there will be time for failure, okay? But they must not fear failure. And it's a place that other people are growing, and there's a willingness to change. And growth is modeled and expected. Now, for us to have a good, you know, growth plan for our children, we must assess their needs. We must assess their needs. I'm really hoping that maybe, you know, on some other occasion we'll have practical sessions, you know, where we can actually walk through some, you know, growth, you know, plans. Okay? But let's just lay the foundation today. Assess your child's needs. What is his age? What you're expecting from the teenager should not be what you're expecting from the one in kindergarten. What is your child's bent? What are their top three interests? Do we really know their interests? You know, your child may be interested in rugby or in mountain climbing or in some other kind of thing that you yourself can't, you know, you don't even want to think of it. My daughter Buchi is now looking forward to buying, you know, riding a motorbike. Now, you get the point. And then you'll be saying, hey, you know, what's really going on here? But that's besides the point, okay? But, you know, just why I pointed that out is that some of the things that really, really interest and I guess their own attention may be different from your own. Okay? And that doesn't make them less human than you are. Okay? And what are your child's, top three spiritual gifts? Now, these are usually indicators of where God is leading them to. Okay? You may have a child who naturally, you know, has some kind of feeling for you know, for peace, always reconciling people, and something happens, there's a problem, they would rather you take what they have than for them to even start fight. You begin to find out exactly what their bent is. Okay? What are your child's greatest needs? And what are their greatest weaknesses? So when you've known these things, then you have to then learn where to focus your growth. Remember, we have to be priority parents. Now I'll give us 20 hints, practical hints, you know, for developing a growth plan for our children. Number one, help them developing a spiritual growth plan. Okay? That's the thing. Number one, help them to be at home with the Bible. Help them to be at home with the Bible. Learn the books of the Bible and how to navigate the Bible. Learn the books. There are simple songs that you can use to teach children the books of the Bible. Very simple songs. You know? Maybe we'll learn some of them another time. But very simple songs. Let them learn the books of the Bible. When you know the books of the Bible, you know about the two divisions, the Old and the New Testament. So when you call out a book of the Bible in the church, the children are able to find it. Okay? Play some little games that will help them to find verses, find scriptures. I think the simplest one is the sword drill. Are we familiar with that? Hello? I'm not getting any response here.
Yes.
The sword drill. Now, do you have your Bible? Can I just see your Bible? Just wave your Bible, everybody. Amen. Can you now, to really make it fun for children, you say attention, soldiers, attention. I mean, children really like being smart, isn't it? Okay, pull out your swords. The Bible, the word of God is sword of the Spirit. So you put out the Bible, all covered, and then you call a verse of scripture. No, the first person who finds it reads it out. Okay, stands up and reads it. Okay, shall we have a quick go? Now draw your swords, soldiers of God. Attention. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. No, you're not standing. Come on. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. The first person that finds it, stand and read. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you take your seat? Now, listen. Can you take your seat? Now, what happens is that some people are still opening when they stood up. So you open it. You must have your finger on it. It's not the first person that stands up, but the first person that finds it and starts reading that wins it. And then you take from the Old Testament, you take from the New, you dot about and make them, you know, really, you know, conversant, you know, with finding things and navigating their way, you know, through the Bible. Okay? Teach them personal quiet time. Teach them personal quiet time. Now, this is all part of number one still, okay? This is still part of number one. Teach them about personal quiet time. They must have their own devotional time. Even if you pray 20 times a day as a family, your personal devotion time should never be compromised. Teaching your children to have that. Okay? And by God's grace, we'll look into how you can actually teach these things, because it's a whole topic on its own. Let them practice sharing the word. You know, what they have learned, to practice sharing it. So when they've had their quiet time, you can talk about it with them. In my own home, not only do we do that, but everybody, including my little Ebele, takes their turn to share the word of God during our family devotion. So we are having practical Bible school. Amen. So maybe when you have an outreach, you can invite one of the evangelists from the Nairobi's. Okay. Yeah, because they've been practicing and they are home with that. Okay, they've been doing that for some years now, and it's a good thing. I recommend it any day. Learn memory verses. Learn memory verses. Can I ask us a favor, please? Can I take just about 10 minutes extra this evening? If you don't mind, please, because I'm just still on number one here, and I wanted to just give us a few hints on the importance of memory verses, okay? Memory verses. Teach them to memorize scriptures. You know, it's so important. Now, some of the advantages of scripture memorization is that it helps children to obey authority. It helps children to find encouragement. Because when you need encouragement, you get it from the Word of God, don't you? It helps in counseling. Really helps in counseling. You can ask Nkechi how that really works. She's the chaplain of our school. It helps in resisting temptation. That what have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you? It is a vital tool in witnessing. We're teaching our children to witness and taking them along, you know, in evangelism. They must learn memory verses. It's helpful in making decisions that glorify God. It helps in expressing our thoughts to God. And this is the primary thing that actually challenged me to memorize verses, because I wanted to worship God. I wanted to be able to say good things about God when I'm worshiping. That was as a child. That really spurred me onto it. You know, it helps the child to claim God's promises, because they know the scriptures. And it helps the child to prepare for the future. It will aid the child in worship, and it convicts of sin. Learn to use Bible tools, Bible study tools. Teach your children to use Bible study tools. We buy so much books. We buy so many things. We must invest in the spiritual life of our children. I have a very simple one here. It's a concordance, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. What time should you start teaching your children to use this? As soon as you start teaching them to study the Bible by themselves. Again, it's up to you. I mean, how quickly your children develop. Okay? How quickly your children develop. I think Nkechi started learning to use that when you were 8, thereabout. Okay? Thereabout that time. You understand? So you begin to learn how to find words, some words to understand a verse. You know, what does it really mean in the Greek or in the Hebrew? These things really help you to understand better. Teach your children, you know, to do that. Teach them, you know, to do that. Use Bible dictionaries and concordances. You know, teach your children. Of course, if you don't use these things, how can you really teach them? Of course, you know about lexicons and Bible cross-references. You know, your Bibles with references. You know, teach them. I think Abele, last year I was asking, why do you have all these things here? They would then have to teach her, oh, this is how this one relates. And from there she's able to find, you know, her own way. Okay, and she's 7. So it's never too early to start. Okay. Then you have eSword, which is an internet-based, you know, program, which you can download free of charge to your own computer. I've given this website to all the teenagers in the church before. You know, there was a time they were going to do a project on that. I don't know if they really followed that through. Okay, you find that at www.eSword.net. Okay, you downloaded so many Bible, you know, programs that they have. Very useful stuff. Then journaling is something else that is really important. The things the Lord says to you. Teaching the children to begin to write those things down. Then you write your own too, so you'll be able to share and encourage one another. Okay? And number 2, all I've been saying is just on number 1. Number 2, teach your children how to pray. Teach them how to pray. And by the way, at what age should you start teaching your children to read the Bible? At what age should you start teaching them to read the Bible? Sorry? As soon as they start talking. When they're able to make sounds and maybe repeat, say certain things after you, as soon as that, put them on your lap. Okay? And say, oh, my little darling Hillary, can you just read this for us? In the beginning was the one, he said, in, and she looked around and said, It's a response, isn't it? Say, wow, did you hear her say that? She read the Bible. Come on, shall we clap for her? Bam, 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 bam. God bless you. Hillary, God bless you. Do you understand that? The child gets excited. I know that this thing that he does or she does that keeps getting reward for, they become more interested in it. Isn't it? And as you give them the Bible, they may be chewing it. That's fine. It's only money is going to cost you. But as you're chewing it, the word of God is going in too. Praise God. Okay, in addition to regular church attendance, get your young ones into dynamic Bible-centered children's and youth clubs. Children's clubs or youth clubs, depending on their own age. Get them into that. And then one very important thing you must do for your children that will help them to really grow spiritually, introduce them to books. Read to them and with them and get them reading. Get them reading. In fact, every one of us here, including our children, must read for three reasons. You read for academic purposes, you read for growth, and you read for pleasure. These are the three reasons why we read. For academics, maybe you want to do an exam or you are preparing something, you know, whatever. That one. Then for growth, for your personal growth. And we must learn as a church and as parents to teach ourselves and develop ourselves to take responsibility for our own growth. You read for your growth and you read for pleasure. And get the balance right, you know, with your own children. Introduce them to books, reading the Bible. When I got this book from the U.S., when Udo was 4 years of age. Yeah? It's a wonder. I think it's the best children's Bible story book I've come across. Believe me, this book is fantastic. I got it from him when he was just 4+. Okay? And by the time he was 5, just about 6 months later on, he had finished reading through the whole book. You can take a browse. You can, you know, browse through it. It's a very nice one. But that's not a substitute for the Bible anyway. You get my point? So, and every one of them have read through it. Even Ebele has. That will tell you how old the book is. I finished reading and it's still intact because they like the story. They'll keep it. Okay? Then, good story books. Teach them that. Then biographies. Biographies. Read biographies. Buy those books. Really, really excellent ones. They are all over the place. Buy them. Then general knowledge books. Get your children reading. I mean, it's one of the best gifts you can give to your own children. To steer them up and get them, you know, whet their appetite for books. Let them, you know, read. Let them really read. Topical books. You know, even pay them to review books for you. You know, I did that. You pay them to read certain books or walk through certain books. Okay, for each of these you do, you get a certain amount of money. Ooh, you can trust Buchi and others when they were much younger. They threw themselves into it. And they did that. But I was trying to build something to establish a foundation, to establish a pattern in the home. So when they got into that, and they were so voracious in books. In fact, there was a time. So once I got that appetite going, I stopped paying them for it. Okay? Now, I mean, they began to enjoy it. Now, because that standard had been set, when Kechi and Ebele came along, guess what? I mean, they can look at the other ones and learn from that. And everybody's, you know, being, you know, thoroughly, you know, challenged. You know? Then even serialized books that comes out in series, like the Left Behind books. I brought these ones here, just some of the ones who have this, not all the copies. I think it's about 45 or so, there about, books in series. You see this one? Hello, can you see some of them? Yeah? Only heaven knows how many times Udo and Buchi have read through this. Sometimes they read two of it a day. During holiday or half time, they go through it. They've gone through it so many times. You know, and Kechi is walking, you know, started walking through it, you know, herself. It's so good. And it builds up your speed. The more you read, the faster you become in reading. Hello? Many of us don't want to read some fat books because we are too slow in reading. Am I speaking to somebody here? No, everybody here is so quick. Anyway, you can even do speed reading course. Anyway, I had to do that. You know, private... you know, thing to be able to build on your speed to do the things you need to do. Teach them, you know, books of the Bible. Let them read through the books of the Bible, children's Bible story books, Bible correspondence courses for children. You know, there are some of them around that the children can subscribe to. And keep praying for me, please, that our Children's Bible Academy that we've been working on over the years, that, you know, that the whole thing will be completed and our children and the children of our generation will really be blessed. Then vision and goal setting. Vision, goal setting, and resolutions is something we must work on. Setting vision. I mean, having a vision. You know, what do you... I mean, helping your children to, you know, to have a vision. ask them the question, and this is something we do in my own family. Okay, what do you want to achieve? What is the target you are setting for yourself for the next 1 year? You write it down, everybody knows about it, and they will begin to work towards it. How do you get to that very point? You have that vision of where you want to see yourself, then what about the steps of getting to that very place? You work out the steps, how to get there. And they're beginning to take responsibility for their own lives, you know, and growing, you know, in that path. Expose them to achievers and not loafers. Okay? Put them in a place where they will be challenged. Then let your children be satisfied and say, oh, well, you know, I had a C and I'm feeling so cool about these ones. Expose them to achievers. And again, it depends on, you know, on the child. The child may have a condition that C will be such an amazing achievement. I'm not downplaying that. But when it comes to a life, as you know, having, you know, aspirations in life, expose them to achievers. There must be people in your church. There must be people in your community. There must be people in your family. There must be people somewhere. Or it could even be in a book that you write. Expose them to achievers and not loafers. And be their cheerleader. Keep encouraging them. Amen. You know, we have to keep topping up our, self-esteem, the bank of our self-esteem. Yeah? Keep the emotional balance. We just have to keep topping that up. Keep encouraging and challenging them. Get them into active service in the church and community. It's in the place of service that our children will grow. Sit down and talk with your children. What are those things in the church, the things going on, which area are they really interested in, that they really have a passion for? That's one. And what are the needs in the church? It may not even be the area you have passion for, but there's a need in that area. Teach them to be active, to go into active service in the church and in the community. Get them involved in missions as early as possible. I do not know of a single person who has ever been out on missions with me, adult or young ones, that their lives have not been changed. Not a single one. And it is my own, you know, desire and plan as well that all my children will be involved in foreign missions. Both local, they've been part of local missions, but they also need to be part of foreign missions. Amen? Because it's gospel mandate, you know, to the church, isn't it? And my children are not the church of, not just the church of tomorrow, they're also part of the church of today. Okay. Be positive about their identity. Be positive about your children's identity. Speak well of your nationalities. Some of us have PhD in bashing their nationalities. Hello? Never finding something good to say about the countries that you come from. It does not help your children one bit, especially when you live in a multicultural society. It's so devastating, they begin to have identity crisis. And it does not matter what you preach, everything just, you know, fades away. It just does not have a resting place in their own lives. Be positive about your nationalities. You know, and anybody who is saying bad things about your country and always saying that, walk up to them and say, look, at least for the sake of my children, can you back off? Hello? Okay, so let's be very, very careful, you know, about that. Then family achievements, you know, be positive. Speak well of your family achievements. Some of the things you have done, hey, you may not have been able to plant the whole of Lewisham, at least you planted one ear of corn somewhere. There must be something you've achieved in your family, or somebody in your family, or your family has really done good. Talk about those things. You know, talk about them. That even the skin color of your children, again, when you live in a foreign land where you have different skin colors, it is so important. You know, time will fail me here to give us examples as to what has happened to so many people because of identity crisis. Okay? Be very positive about the identity. Number 11, spend quantitative quality time. I'm sure you haven't heard that before. Spend quantitative quality time with your children. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, Be careful that you don't leave your children hanging about with, you know, with just children too, you know, too often. All their days they spend with children, with children, with children. It's no good. After all, Proverbs 22 verse 15 tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So if they're hanging out with their companions or fools, children, or children, 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 every time play. It's not good for our own children. You know, let put them in a position where they're able to interact with people that are more mature, and especially you yourselves, to spend time with your own children. Keep close company. That's number 12. Keep close company with families that have godly values you need for your own home. Keep company with those people so that you can learn. And you know what? And then, you know, your children will be able to interact with their own children and also be able to learn. Okay? It's very, very important. Be purpose, number 13, be purpose driven and not activity or program driven. Be purpose driven. And this is one thing we must watch out for. Sometimes your family could be bombarded with so many activities. Your children are invited here, go there, do that, do that. Keep an eye. Sometimes it can become too much. And you need to spend time together as a family. Or just maintain some calm. Okay? And, number 14. There are three different kinds of people. You have the entrepreneurs, the managers, and the technicians. Is that right? Which one is your child? You know what I'm talking about here? Okay. We'll visit that another time. Be fruit-orientated. Be fruit-orientated. And pray and pray and pray as though everything depends on prayer. So many times we want to walk and we don't pray. For me, walk without prayer is atheism. And when you pray and you don't work, you are just being presumptuous. So yes, do all this work, but pray as though everything depends on prayer. Be determined to influence all the influencers in your children's lives. I've dealt with this topic before. And don't wait for anyone, not even your church, to grow your child spiritually. Take responsibility for the spiritual growth of your children. Value value and use the three ingredients God uses to mold us into the likeness of Christ. He uses His word, He uses God's people and circumstances to mold us into the image of Christ. Finally, put your trust in the Lord. It is not of him that will it, or of him that run it, but it's of God that shows mercy. Amen. It is not of him that will it, or of him that run it, but it's of God that shows mercy. And as we look unto him, he will look upon us and our children with favor. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.